Jesus says, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Many years ago, a couple moved to an old house in the country. One morning, the wife looked out her kitchen window and saw the neighbor's laundry drying on the line. That's how they did it in those days. But the laundry was dirty, very dirty. "Oh my," she said to her husband, "I don't think they know how to wash clothes. They're so dirty." "Well," the husband said, not looking up from his newspaper, "maybe they use a lousy detergent." Well, it happened again a few days later. The wife said, "Oh my, there it is again, the dirty laundry. They must be very dirty people if their clothes look like that after washing." Well, the husband said, not looking up from his newspaper, "This is an old neighborhood. Maybe that's the problem." One Sunday morning, the wife looked out the window, and there was the neighbor's laundry hanging on the line to dry again. But this morning it was clean, sparkling clean. She said, "Oh my, they finally learned to do it right. Someone must have taught them how to wash clothes." "Well, actually, darling," the husband said as he laid down his newspaper, "I got up early this morning and cleaned our windows."
Nope. That's stuck there. I'll just shift. So Matthew chapter 7, this is what Jesus says. "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you see it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." This morning, we're continuing on in the Sermon on the Mount, and I there's a couple things about this passage. One, I believe that this is a favorite passage. Well, the first verse, anyway, is the favorite verse of everyone when we make bad decisions, right? Because when we make a bad decision, when we do something wrong, we love to go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, because when we're confronted, we say, "Hey, don't judge me," because Jesus says, "Don't judge." Kind of go there, and in fact, I think this is probably the most known verse to the non-Christian world, isn't it? To people who don't know Christ as Savior, this is probably one of the most well-known verses, because I don't care if you've never been in church, you know the phrase, "Jesus says not to judge," and you throw that out there. I've actually titled this sermon, "An Idiot's Guide to Judging." And I did that because, we have all these books that have been out, and, if you don't know how to use the computer, you buy the Idiot's Guide to, using a computer and all of those things, and those Idiot Guides book series. And I believe that we as human beings have such a hard time having good judgment. And Jesus actually makes it so simple in Matthew chapter 7 that no one is without excuse to have good judgment. You see, to judge is really, if you want to boil it down to its essence, it's just to simply quickly form a bias or a personal opinion about someone or something. And when you think about that, how can you not have an opinion or a bias about something? Most of our lives involves judging, doesn't it? that we have a thought, we have minds, we have hearts, and we have passions, we have desires. And so we really do make all kinds of judgments. And so really, judging is based on thorough knowledge and understanding. Okay, you judge based on your knowledge and your understanding of the things around you. You make judgments about food, don't you? Your knowledge and your understanding of how foods taste and what's involved in them. I mean, it's as simple as that, but then we go all the way up to judging people. See, good judgment rests on knowing and understanding the whole person and the whole situation. That's good judgment. When you have the important knowledge and you have an understanding of what's going on around you, and then you can have good judgments. Bad judgment rests on a partial knowledge or understanding of maybe a person or a situation. I mean, how many of us have made what we thought with the information we have, we thought, man, I made a good decision, but then we realized we didn't know half of the situation, and then we say, I didn't make such a good decision. I didn't make such a good judgment because I only knew part of what was going on. It's interesting. Paul says in Philippians verse 1, 9 and 10, listen to what Paul says. He says, "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more." Okay, Paul's prayer for the church at Philippi is that their love may abound more and more. But listen how he defines love abounding more and more. "With knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ." That sounds like Paul saying, I want you to have good judgment, isn't it? In fact, you cannot separate the biblical understanding of what love is from knowledge and discernment so that you may approve what is excellent. You see, it's not an issue that God says, you know, don't make judgments about other people and about other situations. But he says, you have to be very careful how you do, because as Paul says, he says, my prayer is that your love will abound more and more. And when we think of judging, we think of a lack of love, don't we? We think of a cold, harsh pronouncement against someone. Typically, we think of judgment because maybe we don't like the situation or person. So it has nothing to do with love. But Paul says, I want your love to abound more and more with all knowledge and all discernment so that you may approve what is excellent and that you would be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. You see, godly love includes judgment every time. It does. It includes knowledge and discernment, wisdom from God, and applying that to your life and to the lives of those around you. See, it includes approval. Paul says, so that you may approve what is excellent. So it involves approval, which also means it involves disapproval, doesn't it? There are things we are called as believers to disapprove of, to say that is not okay, whether it's a behavior or a speech pattern, or whatever it is, there's things that we need to also disapprove. And he says, it includes approval and disapproval of what is good, but then it also, the disapproval of what is bad. See, if we are going to love like Jesus, the way Jesus loved, then we will judge others. I know that goes against, you know, the things that people like to throw out, especially when they're kind of cornered or back up against the wall. I say, well, don't judge me. You have problems too. And Jesus never said you don't have problems. And so Jesus, but to love like Jesus loves, then we need to be able to pronounce judgments. And the warning, though, here of Jesus is that we are called to judge like he judged, not how we are bent toward judgment. And I want you to understand that our natural human tendency, our foundation of judgment is our pride. That's really where human judgment rests. It begins in our pride, and we judge from our pride. And when we judge from our pride, we will almost 100% of the time get things wrong. And so we want to make sure that we're where we need to be, because the problem is that while we naturally judge from pride, that really leads us to a protection of what we value and what we treasure. And when, again, as we've talked the last few weeks, when our treasure is not in the right place, it leads to all kinds of issues. And so when we treasure Jesus, our judgments will generally be good. When we treasure other things, our judgments will then land to protect ourselves and our little kingdoms that we create. And so you see, as Jesus was speaking these words, the Pharisees were guilty of poor and false judgment, first of themselves. They didn't have very good judgment of themselves. Secondly, they didn't have good judgment of others. And thirdly, they even brought it to the place where they had really bad judgments about God. And so Jesus says, you need to be careful how you judge. And so in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus gives us what in our culture would be called an idiot's guide to judging. Anyone can judge well. Everyone has a chance, everyone. Because you see, we all struggle with this. And so in Matthew chapter 7, we've got 6 verses this morning, and it's really interesting because this is about judging, but the first 5 verses are all about self-judging. They're all about how we need to approach ourselves first. And the only verse that really talks about others is the 6th one. But isn't it interesting that if we've got the first 5 verses talking about how we handle ourselves and the 6th verse talking about how we handle others, isn't it the opposite how we live our lives? We spend most of our time looking at others and very little time looking at ourselves. We like to apply all this stuff to other people, but we would rather kind of just slip through and fly under the radar ourselves. So here's what Jesus says, and he begins with this look at ourselves and how do we have good judgment with ourselves. Verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. Here's what Jesus is saying. Judge in a way that recognizes you are subject to a final and definitive judgment. The verb in that verse 1 where it says that lest you be judged is a once and for all final judgment of Christ. What Jesus is saying, that judge not because, be careful how you judge, because one day you will stand before me and I will make a judgment about you. If you came to me for salvation, you surrendered your life, you trusted me, then the judgment will be welcome into your rest, to the place that I've prepared for you. If you didn't do that during your lifetime, then the judgment from Jesus in that moment will be, depart from me, I never knew you. And then Jesus will make all kinds of other judgments as we stand before him. You see, the Pharisees took on the role of final judges and did not bear in mind that they themselves were subject to a final judgment. You see, as we judge others, we want to think, okay, there will come a day, not only will Jesus judge me, but he will judge everyone else. And so as I interact with people, am I judging them in the way that Jesus judges them? Or would what Jesus says to them completely differ from what I say? And so Jesus says, I want you to be careful, because as we pursue good judgment in our lives, we will maintain balance by considering the fact that one day Jesus will judge me. And there's a confidence in that. Because there's times that people say things about me that aren't true, and there's times that people say things about you that aren't true. When it comes down to it, the only pronouncement of judgment that matters is that which you hear from Jesus Christ himself at the end of your life. Now, we can use the judgments of others to help give us direction especially people who are godly and pursue Jesus. And those judgments they give us in our lives, those can be helpful. But when it comes down to it, the judgment that matters is that that we get from Jesus Christ. So he begins by saying, you'll be judged by me. Bear that in mind as you walk through your life. Secondly, he says you are being judged. Verse 2 says, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. So basically, not only will Jesus judge us at the very end, but we are being judged day in and day out. How many people recognize that you're being judged every day by people around you? All the time. If you've ever driven by me on the road, I'm judging you. I just want you to know that right now. I have, and I'm sure that you are judging me. In fact, okay. So yesterday, nope, it wasn't yesterday. I think it was Friday. I was driving and we're going to Costco, and I was going to get gas. And you know, if you're coming in there, there's two lanes going into that drive to get to the gas station. And if you're in the right lane, you're supposed to turn right. Right? Don't judge me. If you're in the left lane, you can go straight or turn left. That's how it works. Well, I was in the left lane because I was going to the gas station. Because if you're going to go to the gas station, you need to be in the left lane because that's the right thing to do. So there's a car in the right lane, and he, you know how when you're turning, if you're turning left into that section, you know, there's two left turn lanes, and there's one that's shorter than the other, and you can cheat and say, oh, maybe I can get in because somebody will turn. Anyway, so we get to about the gas station. I'm going in. So this guy just starts moving over, expecting me to stop and let him in. So I honked my horn, not thinking that chances are good he's going to the gas station. I'd be sitting right behind him. So, of course, he turned to the gas station. I went, well, great. So I just kept driving. Like, because I didn't want to sit in line at the gas station behind someone who obviously doesn't know how to drive. And I just honked at. We are so prone to doing things like that. But you see, we're judged all the time. Every day, day in and day out. And Jesus recognized you are being judged. And here's the fact of life. You're being judged by others, but the way you are judged in part will be heavily influenced by the way you judge others. And that's you know, it's known as the golden rule. You know, treat others how you want to be treated. Now, to be honest, I am completely fine if you honk at me when I am doing the wrong thing on the road. I just want you to know that. So I'm okay with that. But that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, you are being judged all the time. So be careful how you judge others, because the way you judge others, that's going to come back to you. He says, the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. In other words, people will treat you typically the way you treat others. Now, is that always going to be true? Not always. But in general, if you feel like people are harsh towards you and don't give you a chance, to explain yourself, maybe that might be an indication to think about how do you approach others? Because chances are good that they've experienced that from you, and there's an assumption then that, well, I guess that's how you want to be treated. And so Jesus says, one day I will judge you. Secondly, you're being judged. So be careful how you judge, because the way you judge others, that's going to come back to you. And then thirdly, he says this. He basically says, you must see clearly in order to help others. And this is where he talks about the, you know, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but don't notice the log in your own eye? He goes on and he says, So how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you ignore the log in your own? And he says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. You see, the The purpose of judging in our world, in our culture, is to condemn someone, right? It's to put them in their place. It's to deal with them. But the purpose of biblical judgment is to serve others. That's what judgment is. It's to serve others. It's to help others become more like Jesus. Biblical judgment cannot be separated from love. And so we judge in love to serve others, to help them become better. See, a lot of times we judge others to make ourselves feel better. We like to throw that out and say, well, look how bad you are. But biblical judgment is to serve others. It's to help them see what they can't. Because we walk in life so often and we don't see the things that are right in front of us. We don't see the things that are inside of us. And we need other people, other believers to look at our lives and say, hey, let me give you something to think about. Because I want to serve you. I don't want to put you in your place. I don't want to condemn you, but I want to serve you. And sometimes that's difficult to hear. See, we want to help them transform into the likeness of Christ. And you cannot judge accurately with the knowledge and understanding you need if our vision is impaired. Now, what Jesus isn't saying is that you have to have this mastery over everything in your life, but there's more of an understanding of an awareness and surrender that I don't always see clearly. It's not that I have to be perfect, because a lot of times people take this passage and they say, no, well, you can't say anything to me unless your life is perfectly clean and spotless and you're now perfect. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, no, you need to make sure you do good self-judgment, because when you don't, and when you have a bunch of stuff in your way, you can't see clearly in the lives of others. You see, when we're impaired, we will just end up trying to look better than others by pointing out their faults. And that's not what Jesus is. Is that really serving others? Is that really helping those people around us become transformed into the likeness of Jesus? It really isn't. And so really what it comes down to is that we are called to be very careful about when we approach others and try to serve them in this area of judgment. We judge others' actions and their attitudes, but we as human beings cannot judge another person's motives. I mean, we can feel like, I feel like I have a pretty good idea of why they did that. But you see, we don't see inside. We can judge actions and attitudes that we see and feel and experience from people, but we do not judge people's motives. Motives are really Jesus' turf. Romans 2:16, Paul says, actually 15 and 16, Paul says this, of the Gentiles back in the day and those who had the law, he says, they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them on that day. According to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. Who judges the secrets? Who judges our motives? Who judges that? Jesus does. That's God's turf. I can tell you that your behavior and your attitude was wrong, and that you need to change that. But when you say something to me and you hurt my feelings, what I have to be careful is I can't say your intent was to hurt me. Because how often have we heard that from someone? You meant to hurt me and you really didn't mean to hurt them. Now, sometimes we do. But it's we can't see inside, because, and then even more, Paul also says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, he says, bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. In other words, God says through Paul, he says, look, when you do your work, It doesn't matter what other people decide and make judgments about it. You may be doing something to be super helpful. I mean, have you ever done something to really help someone and they've said, oh, I don't care? Or they've said, you just did that to, you know, to manipulate, and that wasn't your intent at all. Paul says in Colossians, he says, look, God's the one who will reward you. He's the one who knows the motivations of your heart. Because you see, we can do good works with bad motives. And I believe we're probably all guilty of doing good things with bad motives. We can also do things really poorly with really great motives. I mean, that's where we get the phrase, bless your heart. It's applied to people who do terrible things with really good motives. I love what Jesus does, though. He says, okay, so your brother has a speck in his eye. He says, remove the log. Make sure you see clearly, like the story that Ray told. Make sure your windows are clean so that you can see clearly. Because here's what's interesting. He says, a speck in your brother's eye. When you think about someone who has a very tiny, little tiny thing in their eye, it's terrible, isn't it? It's just kind of a nightmare. And how do you approach physically removing a speck from someone's eye? With incredible care, with great compassion, with patience, with sensitivity. Because even if it's a little tiny speck in your eye, if you don't take it out carefully, it's going to do a whole lot more damage, and you may have removed it, but their eye's never going to be the same. Isn't it interesting that Jesus talks about a speck in someone's eye when dealing with judgment? What Jesus is saying is be very careful as you judge others, because when you're trying to remove the speck in their eye, you've got to be patient and sensitive. Do you need to communicate them the truth? Yeah, because you want to serve them and you want them to become more like Jesus. But you've got to be careful. I mean, how helpful is it to remove a speck in someone's eye by saying, oh, I got it. They will turn on you and attack you. Because helping someone is not poking their eye. It's being careful. Now, here's the warning. All these, the first five verses, Jesus talks about looking at yourself and having good self-judgment. Here's the warning. There's two things that we want to be careful of. One is shallow self-examination, which we would fail to really examine our hearts thoroughly and say, oh, yep, I took care of myself. I made sure that I'm good. It's oftentimes easy to excuse ourselves. So be careful that you don't do shallow self-examination. But then the other side, make sure that you're not doing perpetual autopsy, which results in self-condemnation and an unbalanced self-focus. You see, Satan's the one who condemns, but Jesus forgives and restores. So here's my question. Which optometrist do you want to be the assistant for? Satan or Jesus? Do you want to assist in condemnation, or do you want to assist in forgiveness and reconciliation? So don't get stuck on saying, oh, I'm so bad, I'm so terrible, I can't, you know, da, 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 da. That's what Satan does. What Jesus does is says, but I love you, and I'm going to make you into something incredible. In fact, I've already put something in you. You bear my image and I love you. So you can be forgiven and reconciled and valuable. So we get to verse 6. So what Jesus has said, as you go about judging, there's three things. Recognize that you will be judged by Jesus. Number two, you're being judged all the time, so judge others well. And thirdly, when it comes down to it, make sure your vision is clear as you judge others. Here's the only verse in this passage that talks about actually judging others. And it's a verse that we probably jump over because it's kind of weird. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Jesus is talking to the church. He's talking to his people. And we talk about God's people being sheep. Well, apparently, some sheep act like dogs and pigs from what Jesus is saying here. And so here's what we need to understand. Here's what we need to catch. As we interact with others, we are responsible to consider where they are. Jesus spent the most time with people who desired real transformation, the people who recognized themselves as sheep. Jesus spent the most time with people who said, okay, I know that there's something wrong with me, and I want help to become better. That's who Jesus spent the most time interacting with and spending his time and energy on. It was interesting. There's a passage in Luke 23 where Jesus is brought before Herod, and Herod is addressing him, and Jesus ignores him, doesn't even respond. You know why? Because Herod was acting like a dog. And what, in this context, Jesus is saying is that dogs refuse to listen. You see, judgments is a holy conversation. He says, don't give what is holy to dogs. And he says, it is a holy interaction for you and I to sit down and for you to say to me, Matt, I see something in your life. Your attitude about this is not very good. And I don't think it glorifies God. That is a holy conversation. And if I am not acting like a sheep and I'm acting like a dog, then what I'm going to say is, I don't care. How many times are you going to confront me with me saying I don't care until you get exhausted? See, what Jesus is saying is there's times, yeah, are we responsible to tell the truth to others? Yep. But if they don't want to hear it, we need to be humble enough to place them in the Holy Spirit's hands and say, God, you take care of this. And we don't quit on them, but what that means is we keep the door open so that when the Holy Spirit works in their life, we'll be able to offer them the help that they need. Then he talks about pigs. And he says, don't cast your pearls before pigs. They'll trample on them and they'll turn and attack you. Paul refused to argue with people who resisted the word in Acts chapter 13. He refused to. Have you ever been in this situation? And this has happened to me more than once, where I sat down with somebody and I told them something that was true. And now, in this particular situation, I did it in a way that was not attacking or offensive. It was packaged in, God loves you, I care about you, but this is what I see, and it is truth. And that person's response to that could have been, if they took that and saw that, it would make a difference in their lives. But you know how they responded? They got very angry. And it was that moment where we've probably faced this in situations. They said, how dare you say that to me? And it was done. That's happened numerous times. Now, there's times that people do that to me, but it's because instead of with care and patience, I just go, hey, poke, right in their eye. And you know what? I just deserve to be attacked at that point, even though I'm giving them truth. I'm giving them truth not packaged the way Jesus gives truth. And so sometimes when they turn and attack you, it's because you're kind of a jerk with truth. But other times you're attacked because they simply are in rebellion. And Jesus says, you don't throw pearls before pigs because they'll trample them and they'll turn and attack you afterwards. Again, that's a person you give to the Holy Spirit and say, God, I trust you with them and I will be here when you convict them and they come back in repentance, and I will serve them. That's what Jesus says about judging others. There are so many relationships, there are a handful of relationships in my life of people who love Jesus, but they've gone sideways, and I have confronted them at every turn. Every time I have a conversation with them, I confront them, and I've lost relationships because they are acting like dogs and pigs. And Jesus says, you are not the agent of change, Matt Whiteford. You need to hand them over to me. And instead of getting bitter against them, you need to be ready for when I do a work in their heart and they come back, and then I want you to serve them. That's biblical judgment. So here's what God calls us to do, and I'll close with this. Love those around you radically, but be responsible for you, not them. You're not responsible for them. Love them radically and give them the truth. Be open and ready when the Holy Spirit convicts them. You see, judgment is not to condemn others, it's to minister to others. Jesus recognized people's spiritual condition as he spoke with them. Sometimes godly judgment looks a lot like encouragement and compassion. And it's always done in love. As I said before, you can't separate the biblical judgment from love. As we see this week, as we go into a week that we have a presidential election, it is obvious that our world around us needs good judgment. It is obvious that people don't understand what's right and wrong. Our world is in desperate need of biblical and godly judgment from the church as defined by Jesus. So here's my encouragement to you. Go and judge well. Judge the way Jesus judged. Be salt and light in the world. Know that Jesus will judge you. As you judge others, judge the way you want to be judged. And make sure you see clearly. Because if ever there was a time in your lifetime that believers need to see clearly, it's now. And so do not step out of culture and say, I'm not going to judge anybody or anything. Step into the culture and judge like Jesus. Let me pray for us. Father, we come before you this morning, and I thank you for your love, your commitment to us, your power. Father, I pray that as we go out into the world and as we affect things, even this week, Father, I pray that you will help us to recognize our place, that we would surrender ourselves to you first and foremost, and Father, that we will be obedient and we will make good judgments of situations and people around us. I thank you for your love for us, God, and that we can trust ourselves under your judgment. So we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.